your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Tuesday, January 26th edition of Locked On Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter at @LO_FLAPanthers. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure to follow the national show as well at LockedOnNHLPods and wherever you get podcasts. You could also email me at LockedOnFLAPanthers@gmail.com. This is a daily podcast that we talk about all things Florida Panthers. So we have a few news based on the schedule, based on the recent outbreak on the Carolina Hurricanes. And the first one is the first road game against the Carolina Hurricanes that was originally scheduled for January 21st has been moved to February 17th at 8 p.m. The second road game to Carolina, rescheduled, that was supposed to be played on January 23rd, has been moved to March 7th at 5 p.m. And to avoid any back-to-backs with Tampa Bay and Carolina, the NHL has also moved the road game against the Tampa Bay Lightning from February 16th back one day to February 15th. And this means that in 102 days, the Florida Panthers will be playing 54 games. And there's going to be also in February a 24-day stretch where the Florida Panthers will play 14 games in 24 days, including three back-to-backs in that span. So like I said, this is going to be tough for the Panthers, but there's still no excuses on. Still have to go out there, play your game, and this team is not going to make any excuses. It sucks that they were on the receiving end once again of other teams' COVID outbreaks, but it's time for the Panthers to just go out there and play their game. But we have great news. It's game day. The Florida Panthers are finally back in action tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets on the road. And a few notes from Monday's practice is that Coach Q announced that Sergei Bobrovsky will be starting in net against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday. And a few things related to the lines, the forward and defensive lines. The fourth line in this most recent practice looks very similar to the one we saw in the second game against Chicago, where we have Vinny Hinostroza on the left side paired with Noel Achari and Brett Connolly. And on the D lines, it looks like the same ones from game one with Anton Strålman paired with Gustav Forsling. And there might be good news coming for the Panthers and Marcus Nuttavaara, who was still unfit to play at the moment of this recording. He is going to travel with the team to Columbus and Detroit, so there is a chance that we might see Marcus Nuttavaara on the ice, whether it's in the series against the Columbus Blue Jackets or the series against the Detroit Red Wings. So for this series against the Columbus Blue Jackets, I had a conversation with the host of Locked On Blue Jackets, Jay, and we talked about the state of these two teams, all the drama that the Columbus Blue Jackets just went to this past weekend, and what to expect from the upcoming series between the Florida Panthers and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And now, here's part one of my conversation with the host of Locked On Columbus Blue Jackets, Jay Forster.
So I'm here with Armando Velez of Locked On Panthers to talk about the upcoming miniseries that we've got going on, which starts Tuesday night, I believe. So how are you feeling about this upcoming series based on Florida's kind of effort so far in the season?
I feel indifferent because they went through two games of the season, first with against a rebuilding Chicago Blackhawks team, and then had to deal with some adversity with the schedule, with the situation that happened with the Dallas Stars, and then the situation that happened with the Carolina Hurricanes with COVID-19 and their diagnosis. So this is going to be the Florida Panthers' first game on Tuesday night in a week. So they've had a scrimmage in between. They've had a practice, but there's nothing like playing the actual game, getting up to game speed. So right now, I don't know necessarily. I think they'll be ready tomorrow because they have Joel Quenneville, and he's always going to keep his guys ready. But there's nothing like game action.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it probably helps that, like, because you didn't have Bobrovsky at the very start of the season, did you? So he only came in for the most recent game.
Correct. He was considered unfit. He was considered unfit to play, but with how the NHL is labeling unfit to play in training camp and everything, we don't know necessarily all the details of what happened.
Yeah, for sure. But it, like, giving him a week of great practice is probably only going to be a good thing. Has he looked good so far in the season, you think? Obviously, it's a really small sample size, but he was pretty bad last season.
Yeah, and I just think that comes with signing with a new team. I know he won a Vezina Trophy with your Columbus Blue Jackets, and there's also a lot of turnover this past offseason with bringing in a guy like Bill Zito from your Columbus Blue Jackets. There was really one or two goals that I would say really were his fault in the last game. There was one where Chicago took the lead where it was on top of the blue line where he grazed it with his glove and it just went past him. I don't know if you've seen the replay, but, and then there was one on a backhand where Patrick Kane beat Riley Stillman for a backhand. And I think Bob had a opportunity to stop it. But honestly, I want to judge Bob more in like a bigger sample size than just one game. But in the scrimmage just this past Saturday, according to the beat reporters, because they didn't live stream it this time around, the backup Chris Drieger outplayed him in the scrimmage too. So that's a little bit of a raise of an eyebrow right now for Bob, but small sample size, it's not the time to panic.
Yeah, for sure. How has the team in general look, do you think? Again, obviously small sample size. I watched one of the early Florida games, I think. So how do you think like the roster is shaping up? Because obviously there was some significant overhaul and you lost some decent guys, like you lost Vincent Trocheck, but I think you've picked up a couple of guys that kind of really fill some gaps that Florida needed.
Yes. One of the pieces that we got from the Vincent Trocheck trade was Juuso Luostarinen, who's on the third line playing as the center. And we got Lucas Walmark in that deal too, who wasn't tendered a contract, who's now in Chicago. And honestly, now that Mike Hoffman is gone, there was no chance that the Florida Panthers were going to re-sign him, even if the cap didn't freeze for this season, just because he was going to demand a lot of money. But I think that gave an opportunity for the Florida Panthers to spread the wealth within their lines. And actually, Barkov and Huberdeau are not on different lines right now. Hubie's on the second line while Barkov is on the first with Carter Verhaeghe, who led the AHL in goals in 2019, and Anthony Duclair, who had a great year last year. So,
yeah, I'm really happy for Duclair, actually. I really liked him when he was in Columbus. Obviously, he didn't get on with the coach or anything like that, but when he went to Ottawa and kind of had a really good season last season, I was really... It's always good to see guys that you like succeed. So,
and you mentioned the coach of Columbus, John Tortorella, and that leads me to the questions about the whole, and I know you've been getting these questions all week. It's the elephant in the room. Let's be real. Was it a Dubois issue? Was it a John Tortorella issue? I didn't watch the game live during his against the Tampa Bay Lightning, his shift, but I did see a short video of one of the shifts that he had of him just not caring about it. Like, what is your take on the whole thing? I think I have an idea, but I want to hear from the horse's mouth.
It's tough because obviously we don't know kind of what's happening. And I've talked about it a little bit on the national show today, where kind of I don't necessarily agree with the fact that Dubois kind of had this passive aggressive temper tantrum on the ice. But I also don't really see what else he could have done in terms of kind of getting any leverage over when he gets traded, because that's the thing with RFAs is they don't get a say in where they can sign. They don't really get a say in how much. He wasn't eligible for arbitration. So basically, his choices were either sign with Columbus for however
much he did
give him, which he did, or he could sit and not play until, you know, until the GM felt like trading him. So I don't like begrudge him for what he did, but on the flip side, I do think, you know, it's got to be tough to look at your teammate not doing anything. You know, that's what gets me is, okay, fine. If Tortorella's a dick, then fine. You know, I think he probably was at least partially the reason for Dubois wanting out. I don't know if he was the whole reason, but at the end of the day, if you don't like your coach, that's fine. But what bothered me was this kind of, he basically kind of just flipped off all of his teammates and left them, you know, they played with 11 forwards for the rest of the game, you know, and he was an 18, 19 minute a game player. So that's almost 20 minutes that the rest of the centers have to kind of make up. And so that was what bothered me, was the kind of, not the lack of respect towards the coach necessarily, but the lack of respect towards the rest of his team. And I think that was probably the kind of the end of it, was, okay, we've irreversibly ruined this relationship in the locker room now, so we might as well get him out of here.
Yeah, and the in-game adjustments that the coaches need to make to realign all the lines while making a statement of, if you're going to play like this, we're going to bench you. And Columbus actually had got this game to overtime and still had a chance to win regardless of his poor effort there. And then the very next 2 days later, they were able to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it was like a relief of all of that. And it's like, okay, this is over. It seems like it's a monkey off the back of the team.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, everyone wants to talk about, you know, we're being professionals here, we can work with Dubois. And Dubois also was like, I want to be a good teammate, I want to be a good player. But you could see a difference in the team. And I do think that there must have been, you know, regardless of how they feel about Dubois, how Dubois feels about them, you know, differences or whatever, I do think that there must have been some really kind of bad energy or like a really unpleasant atmosphere in the room that suddenly has just, oh, okay, we've got 23 guys in the room now that want to be here.
We're going to get back to my conversation with Jay from Locked On Blue Jackets, but with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access with rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control models and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professional and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today, wherever you get podcasts. And now, part two of my conversation with the host of Locked On Columbus Blue Jackets, Jay Forster.
I've never been to Columbus, Ohio, ever. And in the last two off seasons, I actually give a lot of praise to Columbus, what they were able to do the last two postseasons, defeating Tampa Bay, sweeping the President's Trophy winner, and then what they did in the Stanley Cup qualifier last year between Columbus and Toronto. But one issue that has been constant in the last few off seasons was they've been able to build good players, but their issue has been keeping players. Like, they lost, as you know, Artemi Panarin's now on the New York Rangers. Sergei Bobrovsky is now with the Florida Panthers, and now Pierre-Luc Dubois has been shipped to Winnipeg. Why do you think is the reason why people aren't staying in Columbus, Ohio?
It's really hard to, because again, like, you don't know what's going on in the locker room, and a lot of the blame gets put on the fact that, you know, oh, it's Columbus, there's nothing there, or it's the coach. And I feel like a lot of people who are like, well, of course they don't want to play in Columbus, it's Columbus, have never actually been there. Like, I've been lucky enough to spend quite a bit of time in Columbus, and it is a great city. Like, there is a lot going on. It, you know, it's not super expensive to live in. So, you know, your cost of living is going to be way lower. And, you know, there's a lot of Columbus has going for it that I feel like people don't really understand until they get there. But it's always tough to kind of look at this reputation we have of being able to keep players, because if even going all the way back to, you know, like Rick Nash, he wanted to play on a good team. He didn't, like, Columbus was awful, absolutely just not even worth the effort when Rick Nash ran the trade. It wasn't anything to do with the city or anything. It was he wanted to play on a winning team, which does rub me the wrong way a little bit, but you can kind of understand it. Jeff Carter's whole thing was he thought he was going to spend the rest of his career in Philadelphia with his best friend, and then suddenly they both get shipped off to different conferences. So that's like a completely different issue. Panarin, again, wanted a bigger stage. He wanted to play in a big city. You know, that's why he went to New York. That's why he signed with Chicago in the first place. Bobrovsky, I do think, was probably a breakdown of... I think he struggled with Tortorella. I think there was a lot of bad blood there, so I think we can probably chalk that one up to kind of irreversible issues with coaching staff. Duchesne had a city that he wanted to go to. He wanted to play in Nashville. That was what he wanted. And now kind of Dubois has said he wanted to play somewhere else. And so I think it's a pattern in terms of, you know, there's six guys that have publicly wanted out of Columbus, but because they've all had such different reasons, it's really tough to kind of say, oh, it's a city issue, it's a culture issue, it's a coaching issue. So I think it is genuinely just kind of bad luck and probably a little bit of like confirmation bias as well. You know, it's the expected thing now is people to be like, oh, well, of course they don't want to stay in Columbus.
There's no, what you're saying is there's not an absolute.
No. And I think people want to put it all on Tortorella because he is so kind of famously polarizing. But I genuinely don't think Tortorella is the end of the reason, which I think he probably was involved in, like, the Ryan Johansson issue. People like to say that he chased Ryan Johansson out of town. I don't know that that was the whole issue. And obviously, I think he's probably at least partially involved with Dubois, but I don't think it's fair to put it all on, well, these players don't want to play for Tortorella. Because if you ask, like, probably 60% of the league, if you ask about Tortorella, everyone says, you know, he's a great guy. He's
a champion, too.
Exactly. And I think a lot of players that played for him would run through a wall for him. You know, he has that. He gets guys to commit. Whether I agree with his methods or anything is another story. But for whatever reason, you know, most of the guys that play for him, he gets good results. You know, look at what he's done with Columbus as a whole. We were in 2015, and he's turned us into a team that swept the Tampa Bay Lightning 2 seasons ago. So I think it's really unfair to kind of put it all on Tortorella, but I kind of do see where people are coming from.
The winning on the ice in the last 2 seasons have made me believe more that it's less towards Tortorella.
The NBA and the NHL are in the thick of things, and the Super Bowl matchup has been set between Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's one place that has you covered and one place we trust for your online sports betting needs, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. With 18 amazing flavors and 6 new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built bars are healthy. Built bar is great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. And today's flavor profile is peanut butter. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Built bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. Free cooler with the purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast. Brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. Locked On Panthers on a Tuesday, January 26, 2021, where the Florida Panthers will be facing the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern at the Nationwide Arena. Make sure to subscribe to the show on anywhere you listen to podcasts. Follow the show at @LO_FLA Panthers. And follow the national show at Locked On NHL Pods, wherever you listen to podcasts. And now, part 3 of my conversation with the host of Locked On Blue Jackets, Jay Forster.
There's a lot of ties between the Florida Panthers and the Columbus Blue Jackets in the last few seasons of the Florida Panthers bringing in Sergei Bobrovsky last season. And then this past offseason, they brought the new general manager from the Columbus Blue Jackets, Bill Zito, who worked with Jarmo Kekalainen for a few years before gaining this job with the Florida Panthers. And he brought other familiar faces in Marcus Nutivaara and Alex Wenberg. There's a little bit of a joke in South Florida saying that we are Columbus South. And I could see why Zito and Quenneville want familiar faces, with Quenneville getting Duclair and Hinostroza and the three names that I just named for Zito. Do you think there are more pieces from Columbus to come to get GM spots elsewhere? Because they did get a third round pick with the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. It was Winnipeg who got the third rounder.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there is kind of that familiarity. I will say also, in terms of like Bill Zito signing with Florida, I know that he did a lot of the contract negotiation work in Columbus. So I wouldn't be surprised if you kind of, I don't know the best way to put this. I wouldn't be surprised if you suddenly find yourself signing a lot more guys for kind of more reasonable deals. Because I do think one of Columbus's strengths up until the past kind of couple of off seasons has been getting guys to sign to reasonable deals. So that's, you know, obviously a big plus for Florida. But yeah, I think familiarity obviously is a case of, I think Bill Zito can pick up the phone and be like, hey, Yamo, will you give me X player for this? I don't know if that's as much this season, because obviously we're playing in the same division. Less willingness to trade in division, especially because they're the only division you're going to see.
Like, and every game is a 4-point game, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And like, well, if we traded someone today to Florida, for example, then we have to see them another 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think if there's a player that's worth trading, then he's a player that we don't want to face. If that makes sense.
That actually makes a lot of perfect sense. So I want to get to the newcomers on the Columbus Blue Jackets. I saw that Jack Roslovic got a 2-year, $3.8 million extension, while there isn't any talks about an extension with Patrick Laine, at least as of right now, from what I've seen. Number one, do you think they'll be able to keep Patrick Laine? And number two, when is he expected to be on the Columbus Blue Jackets roster?
It's a weird one with Laine, in terms of when he's going to be able to play, because he's injured at the minute. Apparently it's day-to-day, so they expect that by the time everything else is sorted out, so he has to go through COVID protocols, obviously. I don't know that he has to do the 14-day quarantine, because America's not requiring people from Canada to do that, which is bad, but whatever. So I believe he has to fly down and then give them 2 negative tests, and then he's good to go. But he also has to get his visa sorted out, because he doesn't have, obviously, again, what with the Canadian division.
Correct.
This season was not, like, he didn't need it to go to America, because he wasn't going to be playing in America. So there's a number of things that kind of need sorting out before we can see him. But as far as I can tell, we might get him as early as the Chicago game on Saturday, I believe, is the first of 2 games against Chicago. So we could see him as early as then, or we could see him at the start of next week, which would be pretty good. In terms of long-term deals, I'm hesitant to say anything yet, because we don't know how he's going to fit with the team. You know, he could be really good for us. He could fit in perfectly. You know, obviously he's got quite a good relationship with Kekalainen already. They're both Finns. They've worked together before in World Juniors. So I think Kekalainen is eager to get this guy signed, but I don't necessarily know that he'll gel with the team, or if it'll be, you know, a case of everyone's like, oh, him and Port's not going to get on at all. So, you know, that could be another thing. However, he is, I believe, still an RFA at the end of this season. So we do have, as much as I disagree with the general practice, we do have a lot of leverage in terms of getting him to re-sign. So.
You got any questions for me?
I think just in terms of, like, how do you see... So in terms of how, like, on ice performance, obviously it's been a while, so it's hard to gauge what your guys are gonna do when they get on the ice tomorrow night. Do you think that they will continue kind of the play that they had against Chicago? Or, like, how do you think your guys are going to do after a week off the ice? And especially, like, against a pretty inconsistent Columbus team thus far this season.
Well, the only concern so far for the Florida Panthers that I've had is the PK. Even though it's a small sample size, I told Jack Bushman this from Locked On Blackhawks the other day, and I told the former host of Locked On Panthers, Frank Rikas, just yesterday about how when it's a small sample size through two games, numbers are going to be skewed a certain way. And right now it's 2-5, small sample size, but 40% PK, which if you look on NHL.com stats with PK, they're last. But this is an opportunity to improve that department. And I saw the other day that I believe the Columbus Blue Jackets' power play percentage was like, I believe I saw 9%.
Yeah, it's
like
real bad.
A few days ago.
It's going to be a case of like immovable object meets unstoppable force, I think, because your PK might be pretty bad, but our power play is just, I think we've scored one goal on it so far. Like it's just real bad. So it'll be a chance for you guys to maybe bulk up your PK numbers, hopefully.
Yeah, and I don't mind taking penalties. It's part of the game, but sometimes when it's like out of position and then forcing the team to be shorthanded and then not be going out to attack the guys on the power play and being too crunched up near the slot, I think that's also a reason why, because there's times where Sergei Bobrovsky was screened and he doesn't see some of the goals coming. And that some of that is positioning, and sometimes it's just not communicating well on defense too.
Yeah, I think probably that's like I'm going back a bit here, but when I used to pay attention to the Blackhawks, Quenneville's Quenneville's penalty kill was very kind of passive, I guess is the best word for it. So it seems like it's kind of transferred to Florida with him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and again, there's a lot of new faces there too, so it's gonna take a little bit for guys to get to know like what other people's strengths are and the personnel to put out there on the PK as well.
Yeah, I will say Wenberg was one of our strongest penalty killers for like his entire time in Columbus. He's a phenomenally good penalty killer. He's a good defensive forward, so if he gets plenty of PK time, then that can only be a good thing for the Panthers. And I believe Nudavara was pretty solid on the penalty kill as well. So
Nudavara is right now still not a non-roster.
He's still unfit, or...
Yeah, he was still unfit to play, but I believe he's going to make the trip to Columbus. So he might not play game one, but he might come back and play game two. So he's considered almost ready to come back.
Cool. Yeah, he's good. I like Nudavara. I was sad to lose Nudavara. Less so Wenberg and Murray, because I feel like they'd kind of run their course with this team. But Nudavara, I thought, was a piece that we were really kind of disappointed to lose. Just before we finish up, if you know Blue Jackets fans want to maybe learn a little bit more about the Panthers before next game, where can they find you and your show?
They can follow the show account at @LO_FLA Panthers, and they could follow me on Twitter at @MondoMan12, and they could find my work from Panther Parkway there as well.
Perfect. Just for like the end of yours as well, you can find me at @JTheGoalie. I yell about other things than the Columbus Blue Jackets there. You can find this show at @LO_BlueJackets, where I live tweet most of the games and say mean things about the other team because I can.
I won't take it personally.
And thank you to Jay Forster for having this conversation with me to talk about the Florida Panthers and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Once again, you can follow this account at @LO_FLA Panthers. You can email me at LockedOnFLAPanthers@gmail.com. You can follow me at @MondoMan12. You can follow the national show at @LockedOnNHLPods wherever you listen to podcasts. I will be back tomorrow to recap game one of Panthers Blue Jackets right here. I'm Armando Velez. signing off, and I will see you guys tomorrow.